now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death. Oh.
And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain.
Back to the House of Pain.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. From Classic to Coles and the Cheese in between, the movies are B, entertainment is grade A. And I'm your host, Jason Giaconetti. And this time, I have something a little more recent, 2025's Wolfman. And I'll get to it right after this.
Do you live in a forest?
Sometimes. Can you fly?
Nope.
Do you walk on four legs?
Yes.
A bear?
No.
Are you a deer?
No, I'm a fawn.
A fawn?
It's literally a baby deer.
You're such a cheat.
Stop! No!
Are you hurt? We gotta move quick. Come on. Run.
What was that thing, Blake?
It was like an animal, but it was standing on 2 feet, like a person.
I want to go home.
Don't be near the window.
It's a little too dangerous for us to go outside right now.
Are we gonna die?
No. It's my job to protect you.
Blake, what is that?
Are you okay? Blake? Blake?
Something's happening to me. I can't understand you.
Blake, is that you? Blake, are you here? You're scaring me.
Daddy, we love you.
What's wrong with him?
He's sick.
Don't you lay a hand on her.
Wolfman was released January 17th, 2025, with a 103-minute running time. So I'm never going to get used to not saying The Wolfman, because The seems to make sense, but they just dropped The off the front to make it Wolfman. Anyway, your budget was $25 million, with the return box office about $34.9 million on that return. Your director is Lee Whannell, obviously from Saw fame. He also wrote this with Corbett Tuck. Produced by Jason Blum for Blumhouse. Your stars are Christopher Abbott, Julia Garner, and Sam Yeager. Music by Benjamin Waltfrisch. Universal Studios, Blumhouse Productions, Cloak and Company. Obviously distributed by Universal. So, this film was originally announced in 2014, was part of the Dark Universe, a shared cinematic universe centered around the Universal monsters. The Mummy in 2017 tanked hard and killed it off. But then they decided to make standalone movies, and they came back with 2020's The Invisible Man, which made people think this might be something we can start doing. Originally, the pitch was by Ryan Gosling, who was set to star as the new Wolfman. And then it was Derek Cinefrance to direct. Cinefrance left the project in 2023. Gosling dropped out of the role. Lee Whannell took over as director and then put a new cast. Personal photography was done in New Zealand in early 2024. The problem is, and then this is part of the problem, is that the Mummy, they had big plans when Tom Cruise's The Mummy was coming out. Russell Crowe was playing Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde in that movie. They really had plans on making this thing actually like into a whole universe and stuff, but it just didn't work out. And The Invisible Man was actually really good, but it didn't necessarily build into a whole entire new universe. So they kind of make him as standalone movies, which I get, but I think a lot of people were really hoping for the MonsterVerse to kind of take over and be a thing, but it was not for that, you know, that's going to happen. All right, let's get into this. So in 1995, a hiker vanishes in the middle of the remote mountains of the Oregon. Sparks speculation about a virus linked to the region's wildlife. During a hunting trip in an area, a young Blake Lovell and his stern father, Grady, spot a mysterious humanoid creature lurking in the forest and hide in an elevated hunting blind. When Grady informs his friend Dan about a strange beast in the forest, Dan turns his suggestion to hunt it anyway, and for safety of Blake and Dan's son, Derek. Okay, so this movie opens back in 95. The dad is very much very regimented. What happens, they don't have running electricity. They have a generator. It's very different life than maybe some of us might actually know, which is fine. But it does, you know, make sense. And they're going out in the woods hunting the werewolf. They're hunting the deer, and then he encountered the werewolf at that point. 30 years later, Blake lives in San Francisco with his daughter Ginger and his wife Charlotte, where he works as a writer. Like his now estranged father, he struggles to control his temper, causing a strain on his marriage. One day, he receives the death certificate for Grady, who went missing, and the keys to his childhood home. He decides to vacation there. Well, vacation's a strong word. They go there to basically clean it out, kind of thing. They're in an attempt to repair his relationship with Charlotte, but they're going to kind of take time together as a family to do it, but it's kind of to clean out the house, not to kind of just like an actual vacation, but be that as it may. Anyway, seeking directions, they encounter Derek, who leads them to the house as the sunset. Before they arrive, a creature drives them off the road, scratching Blake's arm and kills Derek. And in fact, Derek falls out of the door, and then he is eviscerated by the creature. We see that happen after the truck goes off the road and is hanging through off the side of a cliff. And once they were able to escape, Blake, scratching Blake's arm. Blake frantically leads his family to the house, turning on the generator and barricading the entrance to protect them from the monster outside. While his arm is bloody and infected, Blake starts to show signs of illness, losing teeth, sweating profusely, and experiencing noise sensitivity. Hearing the creature, he puts his ear to the side door, only for the monster to grab his foot through the pet door and injure him further, before Charlotte stops it by hitting it with a hammer. Okay, so the problem is, not a problem, say this is not the Wolfman. This is and if anybody who was expecting to see Lawrence Talbot's the Wolfman, you know, Lon Chaney Jr., Claude Rains, You just go pull that movie out and watch it. This movie is different. It is a Wolfman story nonetheless, but it is quite different than necessarily we might have been expecting. The issue becomes, as you watch werewolf movies, there are plenty of really good werewolf movies that you can watch. And some of them kind of take things from the Wolfman. Some of them the Wolfman invented. Some of the things they don't. But if I'm watching The Howling or American Werewolf in London or Dog Soldiers or Ginger Snaps, all those movies have their own unique kind of take on it. And this is a different take on the Wolfman than we've seen before. And I think some people kind of didn't like that. In all fairness, though, this movie is quite slow at times. It's kind of, I know you're not supposed to say slow, we could say deliberate, but it does kind of drag along. We're almost an hour in and we haven't really seen the werewolf at all, the Wolfman at all, which I guess is par for the course for a lot of the movies where if you're kind of introducing things, but I think people want to see the effects right away, especially since this movie doesn't feature CGI. Since it features physical effects, people want to see what the werewolf looks like. Let's see what the Wolfman looks like. Let's see what it looks like. And I think they were grossly disappointed when they saw him, not because it was poorly done. I think it actually was well done, but because it looks much more humanoid than I think they were expecting. But again, if you expect, you know, The Howling or you're expecting American Werewolf in London, go watch those movies. Those are werewolf movies, much more than a Wolfman movie, where this is much more wolf and man. He's not turning into a werewolf. He's turning into a wolf man. Charlotte grows increasingly worried as Blake loses some motor functions and his ability to speak and understand her. His hair starts to fall out as do more teeth and fingernails, with fangs and claws growing out, and his vision becomes distorted. Fur grows on his body, and he fights the pain in his arm. Blake gnaws at it like an animal, frightening her. Now, the arm biting scene is the scene everyone points to as one of the most disgusting scenes in the movie. It's fine with me. I didn't have a problem with it. I was eating lunch probably when I watched it, but no bigs to me. I know some people, you know, watching a horror movie and there's like blood or gore or somehow something that might be a little disturbing and that's tough for them, but be that as it may. Anyway, I kind of did enjoy the physical effects here. You can kind of tell that they're more physical makeup effects instead of being CG'd like everything we see before. Blake gnaws at it like an animal, frightening her. She spots a rundown truck outside and manages to jumpstart it. Before the family can drive away, the creature smashes the windshield, forcing them to seek shelter atop the greenhouse. Now, this is a good scene. The greenhouse itself allows you to see the wolfman or werewolf, whatever version you want to call it, that's hunting them underneath in shadow, and it's slicing through the roof, and they kind of start falling through. Blake signals for Charlotte to take Ginger back to the house as he runs in the opposite direction to make the monster follow him. And just to mention here, at this point, we've already established that Blake and Ginger have a very strong relationship where he's obviously home with his daughter much more than his daughter's Ginger than Charlotte ever is. And that's part of the issue here is that Charlotte feels that she's not really much of a mom. And some people might say she's not. But that the relationship that exists when one parent spends the vast majority of time with the child and then the other parent, who's still in the picture and still lives there, is too busy with work and too busy with everything else to be involved. It's hard, and I know it's a normal thing nowadays. The people are so busy they don't have time for their kids or whatever they might feel. But it becomes tough when you're watching this and expecting, some people might not understand why Ginger is so mad at Charlotte, why she blames Charlotte for all that's happening here. It's what winds up happening more often than not nowadays because of the dynamics of the family dynamics, I should say, that exist in today's day and age. Hang on, folks. It's not a call-in show. Sorry about that, folks. Bunch of bull on the phone because God forbid anyone calls you with anything that's actually important ever in your life. Where was I? Oh, right. We're talking about this movie now. Oh, crap. All right, here we go. So where are we? So I was talking about the dynamics between why Blake and Ginger are much closer anyway, doesn't matter. Let's get back to this thing. Let's get this going. Moments later, limping and more deformed, Blake returns. He vomited up several fingers and menacingly approaches Charlotte, scaring her and Ginger. Realizing that his danger, Realizing the danger he's putting them in, he prepares to leave, but the creature finds a way and it attacks him. Now, this fight is actually really good. This is where, if there is any CGI, this is where it all probably lives, because it's not in the makeups. The makeups are realistic, but the CGI in the fight has to be there because people aren't slamming themselves into things anymore nowadays. Blake puts himself between the monster and his family, and in the struggle, he bites the creature's neck and kills it. Recognizing the tattoo on his arm, Blake realizes the infected monster is in fact his father. He runs outside, and the final stages of his werewolf transformation take hold. Unable to control himself, he attacks his family, who flee to the nearby barn. Blake claws his way in, using his newfound night vision to sneak towards them in the dark, but is caught by a bear trap that Charlotte laid down. He chews his leg off in the ensnared trap, like an animal would, and continues to pursue Charlotte and Ginger as they flee to the forest and hide in the hunting blind as the sun rises. Now, at this point, Charlotte's also got a gun, which was left behind, obviously, when one of the hunters got killed. Blake climbs up, and Charlotte points the rifle at him, realizing Blake is in pain and wants to die. The family share a final look as Blake lunges, and Charlotte fatally shoots him. Now, this is where Ginger says, because the whole movie is talked about, he says, Ginger, you can read minds. And she is always like, my daddy loves me very much, things like that. Like, it's all, like, not, obviously, she can't read minds. But it's clear that he's in pain. And Ginger says, he wants this over, he's in pain. They comfort a dying Blake before walking out of the forest, taking in the beauty of the valley he once described seeing as a child. All right, so... like I said, this movie was not received super well. I mean, it made very little money. $25 million budget, made 20.7 in the U.S., about 14.2 in Canada for a $34.9 million return. Technically, it made money. The problem was that it just, I don't know, it just, something was missing in this movie, and it doesn't help either. It actually opened the right around the time, I'm pretty sure around the time the wildfires in Los Angeles. So, and I'm not saying that necessarily derailed people from seeing it across the country, but it just seemed like it was missing something. It's not that it was bad. It just wasn't overly good. It was just kind of more average than anything else. It just kind of was, I don't want to say pedestrian, but it kind of, there was no, oh my God moments. And people look at like, oh, well, he bit his arm and stuff. And I'm like, okay. Like, anybody who has any idea about, you know, horror movies and stuff, know that that's nothing special. There's nothing crazy there. There's nothing happening there that would be so earth-shatteringly different that it would stand out as being so much greater than others before. I think what happens is the overall, the idea of trying to like ground this more in like an emotional movie works at some points, but doesn't at others. Like, you learn that he's estranged from his father, but I don't know, do you care? I mean, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm a heartless, you know, POS and knowing I don't care about things, and which I've been accused of not caring about anything and then caring too much about everything. But maybe that's it. Maybe it's just I don't care. I don't know. Like, I didn't care that his dad and him got estranged. His dad was not exactly, his dad's like yelling at him to be like tough and a man and like, you know, you have to, you know, do these things. And I'm like, okay, so we're going to go with the idea that he's in an abusive relationship and all this stuff, right? Great. So it's just hard when you try to tie modern sensibility into movies that like are supposed to be paying homage to things that came before. But I know you can't divorce yourself completely from that either. I don't know. I just feel like this movie was lacking. And I feel like it was lacking a lot of punch. And maybe it's because the gore elements weren't turned up. Maybe because the horror was not as horrific as it could be. I'm not saying they had to, like, you know, kill the kid. But there's only, like, this movie is basically about three people. And there's three people on screen, a lot of it. And if you just don't, I don't know. I don't want to say don't care, but, like, I couldn't, though. The wife is like, you know, unloving and like whatever. And then she's like going to care. And then like, but she's so worried about her career and like all her friends and all these things. Like, okay, so you're a mom who doesn't want to be a mom. Cool. I know a lot of those people. Right. And here's a dad who's like, is doing too much beyond belief. Yeah, I know those people too. Like, it, I get it that they're trying to tie it to people's realities and people like, oh, I know people like that. Like, but no one turns into a freaking werewolf. Okay, that's what I'm saying. So, like, if we're going to do the fantastical, and I understand trying to ground it in reality, but it's like, I don't know. And maybe it's just me being an old, bitter, angry old man, tilting at windmills at times, but I don't know. This was not the Wolfman to me. It was fine. It was nothing wrong. I didn't, like, regret the hour and 48 minutes I spent watching it. But I certainly am not going to look into pop it on. I'm certainly not going to say, hey, you know, because Kelly didn't watch me. Hey, Kel, let's watch this tonight. I'm not going to do that again. You know, if my dad ever gets around to watching it, he'll probably hate it because he's hated pretty much everything recently anyway. But, you know, I don't blame him because there's not a lot of excitement here. There's not a lot of, like, whatever. The fight scenes, when the other werewolf's attacking, that's when the movie gets interesting. I don't know. You know, again, like I said, a lot of this might be me just being, you know, old and crotchety and, you know, they get off my lawn and all that stuff kind of thing. But I don't think so. I think a lot of it probably has to do with the fact that this just was not up to snuff. And I was not alone in that. A lot of reviewers said it wasn't up to snuff either, which is a shame because this was highly looked forward. This movie was, people were looking forward to this movie. People were like, oh man, this could be so good. Practical effects. This could be great. And I just don't know. Maybe they built it up too much in your head. I mean, I went in knowing that I'm like, I'm going to probably enjoy the werewolf story here if it's told well, because I like werewolves the same way I do not like, Dracula or Nosferatu kind of stories most of the time. I like vampires when they're like, you know, 30 Days a Night vampires, but it's hard because it's just the kind of stories that I enjoy. So anyway, did you see it? Did you see it in the theaters? Did you, you know, write in, let me know. I'd love to hear from you guys. You know, it'd be interesting to hear what your take is on this. And I know some people have felt that, like, you know, maybe, you know, these modern movies, it's not worth going to the theater to see them. Did you watch it at home? You know, I mean, if you plunk down, you know, $25 to watch this at home, do you feel ripped off? Do you feel like it was worth it? Going to the theater to see a movie, ugh, you know, I have no desire to do that, like, ever. I know Haley and I went and saw Smile 2 when that was out, and I enjoyed Smile 2 a lot, and it was worth going for that. But, like, the idea of going and sitting in a movie theater just to see a movie, especially the prices they're charging, good God, that's a waste of time. I'd much rather sit at home and watch a 4K of something. Watch 4K of something here at the house. But again, maybe that's just because I'm an old man and maybe because, you know, I just don't like people. But who knows? I don't know. I mean, could that be part of what the issue is here? Could this be that this movie just, if this was a Shudder original, would I have liked it more maybe? I don't know. I think the idea though that Universal has opened up those islands of the islands, I don't know what they call them, like the Universal, like the Monsterverse thing down there. I think that's really cool, and I think that's like that might actually be way more fun than going to a movie. You know, if you could just avoid having, I don't know, thousands of people there who are not there to do what you're doing, just there to do their thing. But at the end of the day, Have movies kind of left this? Like, are movies no longer like an outing? I mean, not that they were an outing, because I went and saw a lot of dumb movies in theaters too. But it's like going to the movies was like a thing you did. Is that gone? Like, could that be gone? I mean, maybe it's still hot for some people to go do, but I don't think I'd want to go see a movie in a theater unless it's something I really want to see, or it's something we're doing like, when I took all my yearbook kids out to go see Wicked as an outing for growing, you know, community and stuff like that. I don't know. Is the movie theater experience kind of shot? I don't know. Movie theaters, everything looks great, the movies, but it's like, you know, like the bigger screen and sound, whatever. But do I really want to spend time there when I could do it at home, where I could pause the movie, where I don't have some jerk in the back, you know, talking the whole time, where I don't have some, I mean, for the price you're paying to go to the movies, you go out to dinner, you go out to dinner and a movie, you're going to need a small, you know, small loan sometimes just to do all that. I mean, dinner's costing you $60, maybe, if not more. You got movies are costing you $50 at least, you know, I mean, at that rate, I don't know. And maybe I'm just getting too far afield here, because this is what happens when I start rambling. Anyway, we'll just call it. We know, instead of me, keep going. Anyway, so folks, thank you for your listens and your downloads. Thank you for the support, even though obviously the show has changed, and we don't know if we ever get it back to where it was. But thank you for support. For those of you who have stuck with us. And if you're new to this, go back and we've got a lot of really good old episodes that Dad and I were doing together. I think you might enjoy those. Anyway, all right, folks, so that about wraps it up for now. Not sure what's coming down the pipe for June or whatever kind of thing. I know I know I have some ideas of what I want to do, but I'm not sure what I'm going to be able to do or who I'm going to get to be able to come on or I'm going to be able to that stuff, because every time I try to line somebody up, it kind of, you know, I need to finagle around schedules. So be as it may. Anyway, like we say here, keep those cards and letters coming and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots, Bugs, Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?